Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Very common verse. It's Psalm 23. It's our opening scripture this morning. I'll give you a moment to go. And amen when you're there. Amen. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." With the Lord's help, I want to speak on the goodness of God. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I love you and I magnify you. I thank you for being so good. I thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. I thank you for your blessings and your provision, for your guiding hand and your restoration, Lord. I pray that you speak through me this morning. Let me be a vessel used of you for your name's sake, for your will, for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, have your will and your way in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. This verse is used a lot of times for a comfort as people go through trials, tribulations, struggles, or hard times in life. You'll see soldiers quote the Valley of the Shadow of Death section as they're in battle, or at least it's used in movies. But as I went through this psalm, I wanted to start picking it piece by piece. As you know, I'm a little bit kind of on the analytical side, and so I like to break things apart. And so let's go verse by verse through this chapter. The opening verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters." As I've preached previously, in Matthew 6:33, we read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We know that as we seek after God, as we pursue after his will in our lives, everything else is going to be provided for. Everything else is going to fall in place. And in Philippians 4:19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ," which is reiterating that he's our provider. He's our provider both financially. He's our provider both physically. If we're in ailment, we know that he can be our healer. We can go for him to seek healing, anointing. We know he's our provider for spiritual needs. He's the God of our salvation. He can provide us the blood sacrifice that will wash away our sins. He's also the Holy Ghost that will infill us and let us be born again in the Spirit. He is our provider in every sense. So as he makes you to lie down in the green pastures and he leads you to the still waters, he is providing in every aspect of our life. If we take a look to the Hebrew children, it's interesting is that even if we're griping and complaining, the Hebrew children, God brought them out of Egypt for a time and a season. He brought them into Egypt for salvation, and then he brought them out of Egypt as salvation. But as they're going through the desert place, they messed up with Jericho. But at the same time, for the 40 years that they're wandering in the wilderness, he's providing them manna, he's providing them quail, he's providing them water. And it's interesting, yesterday my dad and I were having a discussion on how not just the Hebrew children, but even us as children of God, we can get into a situation where God's providing for everything for us, and then we make a decision, and things just don't seem to be going our way. You start griping and complaining, but man, there's nothing to complain about. If you really take a step back and look at it, God is going to be providing for you. The next is, yea, though I walk through the shadow of... The next is number three. I skipped one. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First of all, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Well, in Matthew 6:33 that we read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it coincides is that as we seek after his righteousness, we know that he's going to be our provider. But the restoration, it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So while we do seek out our own salvation through fear and trembling, God is going to be guiding that seeking. He's going to be the direction, the hand that's providing the instruction as well to go where we need to go. We follow after him. When I am down, so even when we sin, we fall short of the glory of God, we commit a sin. In Micah 7:8, we read, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So he's providing, but he's guiding. And as we seek after his righteousness, he's going to guide us as we grow deeper in him. And as we grow deeper in him, we're going to be stronger. And as we fall, I'm not condoning falling on a regular basis, right? We don't want to fall, but as we fall, we grow when we rise and learn, hey, we don't want to do that again, right? As I direct Charles over there as my little man, there's things that I tell him, don't do that, and he's going to try. I love Pastor's example with Jake and the hot iron. In fact, this morning, we came very close to having a Schmelzer version of that story because I was ironing my shirt, and Charles was wanting that iron. And I was like, don't do it. Thankfully, he didn't get it. But he learns. You correct him and say, hey, don't do that. And he does it, and then he finds out, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Same in our spiritual life as we're growing. We're like, oh, God's not going to worry about that. I'm going to go ahead and do this anyways. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, man, that hurt. That hurt deep. I better not do that again. He's the God of restoration. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So all of this, yes, while it is for me, it's for you to grow. It's also for his glory, for his honor, for his name's sake. And also, he doesn't ever seek after for us to be destroyed. Jude 1:20 refers to building up on our most holy faith, and he is always there to restore when we're downtrodden. Also, I'm not going to read these. I didn't give these to you, Pastor, but Leviticus 11:44, Leviticus 19:2, 27 and 1 Peter 1:16. All of those verses refer to be ye holy, for I am holy, or be ye holy because God is holy. So as we seek after this righteousness, we are seeking to be holy as God is holy, to be pure, to be righteous, to be upright, to set aside the weights that so easily beset us, and to run the race that's ahead of us. Next is his comfort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's interesting. It mentions two different tools of a shepherd. The shepherd's rod is kind of like a walking stick. It's shorter than a staff, and it's got a heavy knot on one end for hitting things. The rod is used as a protection. This is what the shepherd's going to use to kill or to ward off the enemy of his sheep. The wolves and the lions and the bears that come after his sheep, that's what the rod is for, is a weapon to defend the sheep. But it is also a tool for counting. He can use it to count his sheep. So God, as our protector, our provider, our restorer, he's there. He's got the rod to ward off the lion that's seeking whom he may devour, right? So we can feel comfort in the knowing that he's got that rod, and there's not any enemy that's going to come after me, because they see the man with the rod. They see the good shepherd. But also I have knowledge that that's not only a weapon, but it's a tool to make sure that I'm still here. It's a tool to use to count. And he says, hey, I see there's some seats that are empty. I need to go find this sheep that's gone astray and seek after him. There's a sheep that needs restoration. There's a sheep that has stepped away from the righteousness. It's no longer in my provision. It's no longer under my protection. I need to go seek after it. So you know that, yes, he's our defender. He's bringing that comfort, but he's also going to seek after me. If I go astray, Lord, help me that I don't, but if I go astray, he's going to come after me looking for me. And when he comes after me, he's going to have the other tool. He's going to have his staff. His staff is used for multiple different purposes. His staff is used for guiding the sheep. His staff is for correcting the sheep. And his staff is used for saving the sheep. So it's interesting. I'm comforted by this staff. It can still sting, but it isn't coming after me to hurt me. It's coming after to correct me, to guide me, so that he doesn't have to use the rod to say, hey, where you at? You're not amongst the fold. You're missing. No, the staff is there to say, hey, there's danger over in that corner. Let's kind of come back over this way. Let's channel back into this direction. Let's stay on the straight and narrow. Let's stay in the path of righteousness. Continue growing with me. Continue with the shepherd. Don't go astray, because you know there's danger that lurks over there that you don't know about. If you head into those areas, you're going to find out that was a mistake. And there's a possibility you might be destroyed. So even though it's there as a corrective tool, it's a comfort. It's a comfort to know, hey, if I mess up, he's going to let me know. And if I fall, he's got that hook on the end of the shepherd's staff to pull me up out of the miry clay. He's going to put my feet on a rock to stay, as the song goes. He's there to protect. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The sheep don't kick against the shepherd, but they delight in it. Say, hey, if I stick to this, I know that every desire of my heart will be met. Every desire of my heart is going to be filled. Yes, there's going to be some hard times. He's not going to lead you in green, in the green pastures the entire time, or the still waters. As those of us that go hiking know, sometimes you got to go over the mountain and through the valleys to get to those green pastures, to get to the nice trickling brooks or the still waters, as the Bible says. It's not all roses and sunshine, if you will. There are hard times. So delight in the journey, because the hills that climb and the valleys that go down are bringing you to the next green pasture. I can tell you, I alluded to it a little bit in the beginning, but over the past 7 months, we have been over some mountains and through some valleys and through the woods, but we weren't going to grandmother's house. I wish it were. But I can tell you that in the past 7 months, my family, we have grown and learned. And I can tell you, it's hurt a lot sometimes. But we followed after God's direction. And we've seen healing. We've seen restoration. We've seen provision. When we were first going into Guatemala, there were some things that we thought to ourselves, there is no way that we're going to be able to provide certain things. We don't know how, but God provided. There's been times where we're like, I don't know how this is about to work, but every single step of the way, God has provided. So I can tell you from experience that if you stay following after the good shepherd, stay following after Jesus, he's going to be that great provider. And Job even went through something similar, is where he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, even if God brings me to the slaughter, I'm trusting that this is for my best. This is for my will. This is for my good. And more importantly, it's for his name's sake. And in verse 5, it says, thou preparedst a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This verse really kind of slowed me down. Because first of all, what's the significance of preparing a table for me before my enemies? What's special about, like, why would you do that? It's showing that even though you are surrounded by the wolf or the lion or the bear that would like to destroy you, his comfort and his protection is such that he can provide for you, that you can eat at a table prepared for you and not worry about the enemies that are around you. I'm here. There's turmoil all the way around. It doesn't seem like there's peace anywhere. And yet at the same time, I can sit down at the master's table and know that all is well. That all is well. And then he goes on to say, that he anointeth my head with oil. Now, we know that David wrote this scripture, but in the Old Testament, thou anointest my head with oil. In the Old Testament time, the time that this scripture was written, no, not just anybody was getting their head anointed with oil. Priests were anointed with oil. Kings were anointed with oil. And occasionally a prophet would be anointed with oil. And the reason that they would be anointed with oil is to signify that they are chosen, set apart, anointed, and empowered by God. So thou anointest my head with oil. He's pulling me apart. He's saying, hey, I'm going to anoint you. You're a royal person. You're a chosen generation. In fact, I've got the scripture. I know Jake has his favorite scripture. This one is probably mine. It's 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Is, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, hey, he's anointed my head with oil. That anointing oil has flown down. I am no longer just a random sheep. I am not just a random thing that he supplies and provides for. I'm not a random thing that he has picked out to just guide through these ups and downs. But he said, hey, I've adopted you. You are mine. You are a royalty. You are of the chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. You are set apart. I have called you as my own. And not only have I called you as my own, but I've anointed you with the significance. And I've put my power, my authority, my name, I've applied to you. He's pulled us out. He's not just guiding just any flock, but he's guiding his bride. And he's called us out. And it's up to us. Are we going to stay in the fold? Are we going to continue following after the shepherd's guiding? Or are we going to go astray? That's so powerful to me. When I read that, I was like, man, anointed my head with oil. And he says, my cup runneth over. He's anointed. He's provided. And with the prodigal son, he goes out. He goes astray. And the father waits for him to come to his senses and come back. And as pastor has pointed out many times, he comes back with the mindset of, well, even the servants have food to eat better than what I have in this pig slop. But he comes back and the father says, hey, I'm receiving my son home. I'm not receiving a servant. He said, your head has been anointed with oil. You are royalty. You are my son. My name is on you. You bear the ring that says, hey, I have the authority to say in Jesus' name, let you be healed. In Jesus' name, let this be done. Be restored. Your cup runneth over. There's a fatted calf. In fact, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We are the Father's children. Our cups runneth over. So when we feel downtrodden, there's no reason no reason for us to get in the molly grubs and get down and woe is me. I'm here wandering the desert for 40 years. No, God's got you where he wants you. Now, it is worth pointing out, they ended up in the desert for 40 years because they decided to take things into their own hands and say, no, those giants are too big for us. So sometimes the correction can last a while. Whereas if they would have just said, the gods of our salvation is going before us, let's go take it, there would not have been a 40 years in the desert. They would have had Jericho. So seek after God. Jesus, I praise your holy name. And as we go into the final verse, it says, surely, surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I pointed out in the beginning of the provision, he is providing not only food and raiment and shelter for us in our daily lives in this fleshly world, but he's also provided salvation. As we seek after him, we have the comfort knowing that one day we will all be able to be with him in heaven for eternity in my Father's house. I don't know, Pastor, I know this is the first Sunday of the year. I don't know what you've got planned for this coming service, the 11 o'clock service. But in my heart, seeking after this, I just felt an urge and a push, saying thankfulness, glory, praise, honor, worship the King of Kings. Give me the honor and glory I deserve. Lift me up to the high place that I belong in your life. Set aside yourself for me. Be consecrated unto me. Move into the realm that I have for you. I've got two verses in closing here that I want to read, or chapters rather. Psalm 150, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him among the loud cymbals. Praise him among the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And praise ye the Lord. And then Psalm 34:1-4 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make your boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm telling you tonight, this morning, that he is the good shepherd. He's seeking after us. He's saying, hey, come to me. Let me be that provider. Let me be that restorer. Let me be that salvation. Oh, there was a lot of things that happened in 2025, but I am so excited to see what he's got for this 2026. Let the Holy Ghost anointing be on you. Let it be in you. Let it be working through you. Be consecrated unto him. Follow after him. Let him lead and guide us in this next year as we seek after him. I know it's a little bit early. I'm going to turn over to Pastor for his direction. But I want to thank you for coming into Sunday school tonight, this morning. But let us seek after God and his will and his way. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.